We're here in Parshas Emor. So, L'chura Parshas Emor, on the surface of it, is a it's the Gemara. It's coming. It's the Gemara Sefer Toras Karnim, and being that Toras Karnim basically deals with the Nyanim of the Koyin and so on, we dealt with the Hakrovas of Karbonis, which needs to be through Kohanim, and now we're dealing with the Dinim of a Kohen himself. But the different Inyanim that come adjacent to it, it's hard to say within the parish as much as adjacent to it, that are different, that are unique. So first of all, the Kololius of the parish's Kahuna itself deals with the three Inyanim, basically. The fact that he can't be metame, the fact that he can't marry Grusha and even Almana, the fact that he Balmum is Pasul. That's one gather, and the extension of Tuma in Avoida, that's one. You have the parasha of Moyadim, which is involved with Karbonis. It's unique Karbonis at different times, and so on. That's also that's part of the Inyan of Toras Karnim. In the middle, you have here a parasha of Shoreh Kesev, which is when you can bring a carbon. So all of these belong to the parasha of Karbonis and Mikdash and Karnim. And then you have a V'chalo Shem Kotshi, the Inyan of Kiddush Hashem stuck in. I mean, Kiddush Hashem is a tremendous Inyan. V'chalo Shem Kotshi, V'chalo Shem Yisrael is in a certain sense an Inyan of Kalatari Kula. You're talking about a person needing to be Moise Nefesh for all of Torah. The Rambam brings it in Yisariya Torah, obviously. That's in a certain sense where it belongs. It belongs in a very, very in a very special place. And it's just sort of stuck in at random in between the Inyan of Kahuna, which doesn't seem to be Kuna and Karbonis, which doesn't really seem to be its makom. But let's go back a little bit to the Inyan of the Kohen himself, of the Tzivuim to the Kohen. You have here a strange lashon that's unique in the Torah. Vayem Hashem Moshe Amor al HaKohanim b'nei Aaron. In a half a dozen so places, it says Amor b'nei Aaron HaKohanim. B'nei Aaron HaKohanim is a normal Shiga D'Lishna, and it sort of has a certain sense to it. He's speaking to B'nei Aaron, who happened to be the Kohanim. Emor LaKohanim B'nei Aaron, the flipping around of it is the only place in the Torah like that, and it needs some Havana, what's the point of it? Like, what are we, of course, Kohanim are B'nei Aaron. B'nei Aaron HaKohanim is Mimayit something. It says Pinchas wasn't Zeicha till later. You know, it's not all Bnei Aaron or Kohanim, but all Kohanim are Bnei Aaron. So there's a redundancy here in the very structure of the words, and a unique Matbeas Lashon, that's the only place in the Torah, very different than the other places. So Chazal Birmiza, in other words, it's Mashma, it's the understood Diuk in a few places. Yeah. First over here you have in Medrash Rabbah. Davacha, Emor Kahanim, Hadohu Dichsiv Yiras Hashem Tehoire Medrash Lad. In Emor Kahanim, we have a gilui of the fact that Yiras Hashem is Tehoire, and therefore it stands forever. Omer Rab Levi, Mi Yiras Nesiore Aaron V'Nakadosh Baruch Hu, Zocho V'Nitnu Aparasha Zois. This parasha was given to Aaron, the schus of Aaron, that he brings as a pasuk. They bring ve'atem le'moyer ve'yer eni. Zochav v'nitna parasha zu she'ena zoze mimenov le'mibonov le'mibonov atzev kaladeres. He was given a parasha that doesn't. It's kayim la'at. Ve'ezos uparashas hameis shem avyim asham moishem alakanim ne'aron. That's the whole lashon of the Medrash Rabbah. The Mepharshim, the obvious understanding is like this. All the parishes that we have until now parshas of Kehanim, of Inyanim, of Hakravas Karban. All of Vayikra that's Nogea to the world of Karbanis ceases with the end of Karbanis. So much Bigdei Kehuna. Bigdei Kehuna is, it's Kayim always as a theoretical halacha. But there's no kiyum of Bigdei Kehuna today. It's gone. And all the other halachas. Mashein Kain Tumas Meis, even though it's something which Lechura, the pasha of it, it has something to do with the fact that the Kohanim are supposed to avoida, and I guess Tumas is kind of a stirat avoida. Becholzois, it's something that is Kaim Lad. That's the pashtus, that's why the Mefarshim understand it. So this parasha is telling me something about Kohuna. That's a unique schus. In other words, what he's saying is, emor l'kohanim, tell the kohanim. The kohanim are, you know, this, the context of this parasha is because the kohanim. That's one point. But since the bnei Aaron, therefore it has a nitzchius fit that it wouldn't have otherwise. That's l'churu how the Medrash is learning up the pasuk over here. So the parasha is a parasha to kohuna, and therefore should only be relevant as long as the only Migdash are relevant. The Marshal Balmum. A Kohen Balmum today is a finer person. There's nothing, it does not make a rea from him at all. It's only that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, he can't do avoida. Misa Tumas Meis is Shayach Be'etzim to Kahuna. It's a schus of being Bnei Aaron, something about Aaron's Mida that is Shayach LeNetzach. Chazal here darshnit on Yiras Hashem Torah Mesad, and they bring a pasuk that the Akash Baruch Hu gave them here and so on. But there are other pshatim, and that's the pshat I'd like to a little bit dwell. Another inyan over here is the it says Emor l'kahanim, Emor v'amarto lehazhir gdoilim alaktanim, which again it's something which l'chura is not something that's unique to mitzvahs kahuna. It's something that lechura is shayach to all mitzvahs. Manashach. If it's a gear lechinuch, it's a gear lechinuch. If it's not a gear lechinuch, it's not a gear lechinuch. I mean, what's the difference between that and treifus or anything else? On all of the inyanim of wherever cotton is a gear lechinuch, his father's mechanachim. So what's the inyan of amarta lehazik doilam alektanim? We spoke about it once, different context. Al Kapanim, that's also part of the Emor l'Kahanim b'nei Aaron. Pashas is also dashing on that Emor l'Kahanim, Vayevah Shalom Moshe Emor l'Kahanim b'nei Aaron, that there's a tzivu to them to be mitzvah others. So I wanted to approach the Inyan with a lashon of the Zohar Kodesh asked a similar shaila. And the Yavne Nezer, the Nois Tesha, is the one who brings out this Nekuda. He brings it out from the Zohar. Let's see the Lashon. It says Bnei Aaron, V'chiloy Yadan Bnei Aaron Inhu. It says like Kahanim Bnei Aaron. Don't I know that Bnei Aaron, the Kahanim of Bnei Aaron, Ela Bnei Aaron V'noy Bnei Levi. In other words, there's a Hadgasha here that it's Aaron. Children, rather than the generic Shevet Levi. In other words, there's Kedusha Shayach to entire Shevet Levi. Like Kadosh Baruch Hu's Meyachat Shevet Levi for Kedusha. The Tzivuyim here are Shayach to Bnei Aaron Bedafke and not to Bnei Levi in general. In other words, we would have thought that the Inyanim of Kedusha, these are all Inyanim of not Avoda particularly, there's a Mace and Grusha and so on. I would have thought it Shayach to the general. To Shevet Levi, because it's Shaykh to Kedusha. No, it's Shaykh only to Kayin and not to Levi. Why? The Aaron, the Hushirusa, the Chol Kahane, the Alma. Aaron is the beginning, the Sheirish of all Kahanim. The Bei Isri Kutchebrichu Mikulu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Meshaber to them, was Mesra'eyat with them more than others. Begin Lemevat Shlom of Alma. In order to bring Shalom into the world. Or begin the Aaron Urchi Slikule Lahai. Because Aaron's derech, Aaron's mahalach, brought to this, the chol yoyim the iron of mishtav laskor shalom v'alma, because iron was always ready for shalom. Or begin the urchoy kach, because his derech was like this. Solik lekutchabrichu lahai lemeil shalom v'pamayil deila. Kadosh Baruch Hu chose him to bring shalom to the pamayil lemailo. Or begin kach amol akan me'aron. That's it. So the Zohar Kodesh asks the same nekuda, gives a very different teretz, and the Medrash Rabbah points out the mid of year that Aaron had, and it's a key of Yiras Hashem Tovim Asad. Zohar Kodesh points out a different mid, the mid of Shalom, and because Aaron was ready for Shalom this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, chose him to go in the derech of bringing Shalom to Baal Shemala. How it answers what's going on over here and so on, very, very unclear. So the Amneza is Meirich and trying to bring out the Nekuda that he wants to bring out over here. When we speak about Shalom, let's understand, it says about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Oiseh Shalom B'mraimov. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes Shalom B'mraimov with Michoel and Gavriel, Eish and Mayim and so on. So let's try and understand a little bit the Nekuda. Let's take Tzuras Adam. The emes is that the guf and the nefesh are opposites. And anything that pleases the guf displeases the nefesh. Anything that pleases the nefesh displeases the guf. That's the nature of it. If it's a physical activity, if it's eating, if it's jumping, if it's something like that, the guf is misaneg in it. The nefesh is misane. If the person is engaged in a ruchnistic activity, the nefesh is misaneg, the guf is misane. V'nisem an yom kippur, v'nisem sashechem, the guf has inui, and lumas zel, the nefesh realizes itself. It's a sort of a partnership where one is at the cheshm of the other. And those two things are a tug of war, and best case scenario is a ceasefire. A sort of, okay, a little bit for you, a little bit for me, chatzel Hashem, chatzel lechem. That's about as far as we can get in any time we have a tension between two opposite poles like that. So the midah of Shalom hasn't been realized. When we're able to impose one on the other in a way that one takes on the characteristics of the other, then we have that darga of shlemus. L'moshel, the guf is very flexible, and a person can teach with enough machshava and enough isbainus, a person teaches his guf to want what the nefesh wants, and the guf becomes a kli kibul for it. The Gemara in Yuma brings the story about the two women with Ubrim who wanted to eat Yom Kippur. One of them, he whispered to both of them, it's Yom Kippur. One of them, it helped, one it didn't help. And he said, Zer Shem Irechem. This person became, became a Seicher in Perish Shvias. There was an inherent sense of how much response you could get from one over the other. The tension between the two is not shalom, even if you somehow have a ceasefire and you're able to give a little bit this way, a little bit this way. But there's a third mitzias where one takes on the characters of the other, and that becomes innate. It becomes one unit that has both nekudas. Let's give an example in its simplest form. We talk about chaymer and tzura. So let's take a rock, and let's take a human face. So a rock itself is expressionless, very impassive. It's a big block of stone, and it has no tsuritid whatsoever. It's just a lump of stone. The tsura itself, not only the tsura itself is always expressed in something, but the tsura itself is an idea. It's the picture of something. When you take and you chisel a tsura onto a stone, and you do a good job, the stone itself becomes the embodiment of the picture you're trying to present. And when a person looks at the stone, the person sees the picture through the stone. So because it's adrabah, it's the when you see a stone in the shape of something, when you see a statue that's done very well, it's a lot more powerful than a painting or drawing, because the drawing is just a tzura. When you have a stone which is very, very much chomer, and it's taken on the tzura, and it's done well, so it doesn't look like somebody forced lines onto a piece of stone, but the stone itself comes alive, the stone itself becomes expressionful. So now you have an extraordinary power of where the chomer itself took on the tzura and became the tzura. So when a person walks by, you want to immortalize the way somebody looked. So if you have him cast in a stone, and it's done very well, so the stone itself is mitzdarif to the tzura and gives over the tzura in a way that a drawing or lines or an idea certainly couldn't do it. So we have, this is like a very simple physical example of two things that are real afeichim, two things that have nothing in common, and yet when it's appropriately joined, then you get that type of, you get one unit. So it's not the pshat, well, what did you see? I saw a piece of stone and I saw a picture. It's the statue is the picture, and it's made of stone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created in this world Chaim and Tzura, the primary expression of the Chaim and Tzura is the Guf and Neshama. And the Guf and the Neshama are things that have nothing in common. They're not of the same world, they're not the same orbit, they're not of the same material, nothing. And anything that feeds one starves the other, and vice versa. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mechaber neshama to guf, and he gave and the pshat is when he was mechaber them, he didn't ram it in alone. He gave Adam the koyach of tzelem. Tzelem, Rashi says in Moed Katan Tzelem Dmust Yukni, it says ki betzelem alekim. It's the image. It's the fact that a sense of the neshama can be gotten from beholding the guf is something that is the ultimate nekuda of shalom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into Tzuras Adam. The tzelem elikim of a person is the expression of the ability of that when the nekuda is right, then a person has, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is shalom, it says, a person can be meichel, that shame on himself, and the guf and the neshama can appear as one. If you look, when we look at somebody that's very, very kaddishtik, so what we mean to say is there's something about his guf that expresses neshama. When a person is very megushim, a person is heavy, coarse, very, very unexpressive, very fatayvedik, then what you see in the person is rak. You see guf. You believe somewhere deep, deep inside there's a neshama and express itself. Sometimes they hear a tshuva, sometimes this, the very fact that he moves and lives, fine. But there's a real tension. Sometimes you see somebody who looks like he's forcing himself. His guf looks like it's suffering. And that's a sign of a dominance of the nefesh, neshama, but it's missing, it's not reflecting itself in the guf. When you see somebody that the guf itself has come peace with the nefesh, that gives you a tzelem elikim. That when we talk of tzelem elikim, that we talk about. It's the tzelem is the demus, which is something that's really, it's the impression you got from the guf, but it's not the guf itself. Just like the tzelem of the person, the demus tzyukna, the statue, is not the rock, but it's the sense that you got from looking at the rock. So too, the tzelem elikim of Adam is the sense of neshama that you have when you behold a person whose neshama, whose guf has come to peace with the neshama, and it's misachet the neshama. That's Tzuras Adam and Tzelem HaKimre should be. Misa, the Misa is a separation of the two. Misa is something that is it's where the guf and neshama, the tension didn't hold out. It's split into two. It comes because of the Chet of Adam Arishin, which was the first obvious tug of war between guf and neshama, with the guf winning. And Misa is a period of the two, and it's the Hefech HaShalom and the Bria. In Shevet Levi is the Shevet of Kedusha and Klal Yisrael. Kedusha comes in two tzuras, in two stages. The first stage of Kedusha is the smatus, like Rashi, like we learned in Kedoshim. Kedoshim Tiyu, that's Prushim and Arayas, Gdorim, that Kedosh, that Kedusha is where we draw away from the Nyanim of Guf, and we greater ourselves. Because that's the first step always. So Shevet Levi is Memuneh on Shmiras HaMikdash, that nothing comes into the Kodesh that's not royal. Levi is the Midrash Shevet Levi is V'tehartem as a Leviim. Leviim is Tahara. Leviim are a pchin of din in a sense. They were shaven totally before the Avodah because the Nikius, the Sumira, this Rachkus from the world of Geshem is the first stage to full Kedusha. So the first stage of Kedusha is Prushim, where I'm not. And, you know, Adam Mikadosh Asim Na'at L'mata, that's what we have to do to draw away from it. A person's shaku and gashmius, is not going to convert it to ruchnius. That doesn't happen. Kahuna is the mahalach of sholem, which means to bring this into, to be able to put the chosim on it. So let's abstract it a second. Let's go back to the muscle of a person chipping at the statue. The pu'ula of the person who's working on it is the chipping away of rock that's blocking the tzura. In other words, what does he do? He cuts away the rock that's rock, that's not part of the tzura. But what happens at the end, what emerges is a tzura. Other mekadesh atzma lemata me'at v'mekadeshes m'mala harbe, like the Ramchal explains, kedusha starts with avoda, and something given from lemala. The shevet Levi is the avoda of chipping away, and that's b'meila shayach to the parsha of Yira, the parsha of Yisrachkus from Ra. Koyin belongs to the world of Shalim. Of Shalom, and therefore it's something which is which brings in that Tzelem HaLakim. A Tzelem HaLakim is not where the neshama is one over the guf, but where the guf has become together with the neshama. So the midah of Aaron of Roid of Shalom, in its deepest sense, is the understanding that the two have to come together, and that's his midah. B'meila. In other words, he said, "You kohanim, you mesharas haKadosh Baruch Hu," but Leviim are also kohanim to some degree. They're also mesharas haKadosh Baruch Hu. They also hang around the mikdash doing avodas Hashem, but they're not kohanim of Bnei Aaron diketai. They don't have the k'nature of Bnei Aaron to themselves. They're kohanim Leviim, and that's a different darga. the Kohanim of the Aaron, who do the Avodah B'Poyel, they need to be shayach to the world of Shalom, and therefore it expresses itself in a few ways. First of all, Meis, Tumas Meis specifically, is Hefer Kahuna. In other words, a Kohen, since the elementary Shalom in the world is Guf and Nefesh, so when those become separated, that's Hefer of that Midah. That's one. Two, Ish and Isha is a second example of there's a Shem Hashem that comes when you mechabe Ish and Isha. You have the Yud K. You have the fact that one is Chayme and one is Tzura. Maral speaks about it endlessly. That's a second Chibur that comes out that if it came apart, then it's something that's hefer shalom, in every sense of the word. When we speak about stam shalom, we speak of shalom bayis. That's what we're talking about. And when a person is a bal mum, the chisaron of mum lies not lamashal. If I need a rack to support to support something as a beam, as a column, so a little bit chisaron is not going to affect it. So a column that has a chip or two is going to hold up the rest of it as strong as the other one. It's not loy merit in terms of chayma. When you have a picture, if there's something missing, in halacha, l'moshe for naguna, if the body is missing a choytim or whatever, certain nekudas, we say that your ability to identify the body is a jeopardy, because the tzura comes out from the shleimus hadava. So even though the kohen l'moshe a levi is possible, if it can't work. If he can't sing or he can't work or whatever it is, it's not. There's no psul of mum, but because it's the levi is, if he can schlep, he can schlep. If he can't schlep, he can't schlep. If he gets old enough, he retires and he goes to do other things. If he can't sing, he can't sing. There's no. It's very functional. All the psulim of a levi, a kohen. It's more than the Davide does. So you'll tell me, okay, he has some sort of something in the eye, and but he can see perfectly well, and he can bring the stuff, and he can be Zayrik, and he could be Makhtir. What's the problem? The answer is that since the Kohen is more than just Davide is doing, it's the harmony of bringing the Tzura on top of the Guf. Anything that's lacking in the Shleimus of the Guf is lacking a shleimus of the tzura. And so just like when we have in this Zohar HaKadosh, and also for Kabbalah, you have an endless amount of mishalim from the human body, and every nekud in the human body is a mashal. It expresses some sort of higher element. If there's anything missing, then we're lacking something in the Pnim Shebedov. That's so. Kohen is specifically these mitzvahs are mitzvahs kahuna, because Kohen is more than just asiyas avoda. A Kohen is a ben Aaron also, and ben Aaron is this mala. I was thinking also the inyan of the bnei Aaron, you know, lahazak doylam al ketanim. So we asked, Manashach, I mean, it's not different than any other mitzvah chinuch. Mitzvah chinuch is shayach to every father and every mitzvah and so on. So you could answer kipshutoi that maybe mitzvahs chinuch is only shayach on basic mitzvahs, just every in Klal Yisrael. Kohen is unusual, but maybe. I think it's more than that. When in every mitzvah chinuch, all we have is a kiyum, it's a training. In other words, you as a katan are not chayev yet in Birchas Hamazon, midoraisa, I want the day that you become 13, I want it to be Roglenberg Samazin. And so on. So if I'm a chanech you, you'll be that way. So the normal purpose of kihuna of chinuch is simply to make sure that when he has a chiv to do it, he should do it. So it's part of my vishanantel vanecha. I'm a chiv to teach my children so that they know and so on. Over here, I think there's a deeper inyan. The whole mitzias of these mitzvahs is when the seichel or the nefesh is shapes the guf. So even in the koyin bepnimius, there's a certain lahazik gedolim malaktanim. It's the pshat that the seichel of the which is the godl in the person is shapes the guf, which is the katan of the person. That's where the das shapes the rest of the person. So over here, maybe it's even more than chinuch, but it emulates the etzem sur of the mitzvah. The godel to the cotton, the chibur of a godel to a cotton, where the cotton recognizes that he needs to be shaped and told what to do, and the godel does it, there's in a certain sense, it goes beyond the normal chinuch, but this is like part of the etzem mitzvah itself. This is very much in line with the tzuris ha-mitzvah. That the cotton recognize Ashrei Lador, that is the Shemoyim Leskenov, Nasha Leskenim. It's the tzura of the guf wanting to hear from the neshama and vice versa. The neshama wanting to shape the guf. Al Kaponim, the inyan of the nitzchias that the Medrash points out. So the Medrash attributes it to 1 meter, the midah of Yira. I'd like to maybe use the Zohar Kodesh's Havana also for this, that if the mitzvah could ever separate itself from kahuna, when you're talking about pu'ulois, doing maisa mitzvahs, avoida, and so on, okay, as long as we say mikdash is kayim, the avoida is kayim, and that's that. There's no chisorin in the world of maisa mitzvah. There's no chisorin in the fact that at some point those mitzvahs not again anymore. But when you're talking about the tzuris adam in a pchin of shalom, in other words, if I tell you that this person is a shlemistic person, that his guf and his neshama become one, the time to test it is not when he's in control of himself. But let's give a dogma. Let's say I have somebody I don't like, and there are difficult words between us. I can, if I'm a chacham, I can say to myself, listen, it doesn't pay for you to get angry at the person, to get him angry, this reason, that reason, other reason. I will tighten my reins and rein myself in. I'll make sure not to tell him, not to talk to him, so on and so forth. I'm a big ball seichel and have very tight discipline. I can play the game for a long time. But there's going to be a point where either I'm very upset, very tired, stressed with something else, where I'll just let loose. Because when two things are at tension with each other, there's going to be a point that it's going to snap. It has to be that way. But let's say, through my thinking about the other person, I've come to the actual realization that I need not be angry at the person, that for whatever reason, and I need to feel well disposed towards a person, and it actually has impacted my basic emotions, then no matter what happens, I'm still going to react positively. In other words, the test of whether something has become mitzurif to it, whether something has become be'etzem like that, or it's still a situation where something is being reined in, is can it last forever or not? If it can last forever, that means, yes, it's become that way. The guf that under no circumstance, when you hear all these mices about tzaddikim, that, and all sorts of, that they were nizher from certain averis, the place trefus, shatnes, and all sorts of things like happen Bishgog, and something miraculous happened. They didn't eat it, they didn't touch it, whatever it is. They refused it. The word is, because it had become be'etzem them, so b'meila there never was a chetimtza where there would be a dissension between what the person did and what the person had in mind and so on. That is that's the mahalach of this type of shleimus. And b'meila, it's always true that for you, agnesal oilam means avoidem beis hamikdash by definition is limited to a certain place, time, and it's not a stira if it doesn't happen afterwards. The kahuna aspect of kahuna, which is sheiros, that's shaykh only when there's sheiros to do. The b'nei aron aspect of kahuna, that's something that has to be be'etzim, or it's not that at all. There's one hechatimtza of, so misa we said is a pirut between the gufen and the neshama. Chazal give us all sorts of descriptions of the sultan, how scary he is, and how a person gets frightened, and so on. Whatever these things mean, what it means is that no person faces death with equanimity. It's a steer to the existence of my guf. And the guf is part of me. And therefore, it's not shaykh that a guf should be able to face it and take it in stride. The one shleimus is Mesiras Nefesh, Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem means the ultimate hashlama of the guf to the nefesh. That the guf whose etzem mahus is wanting chiyus, doesn't want chiyus when it's not chiyus for the nefesh either. Of all the parashas, if we can look for a place in the Torah, we asked, Ali Dovahu, Kibim Kaddish Hashem, Mimaisa Nefesh, is the most unique mitzvah. There is nothing like it. And like the Ram puts in Sarat Torah, which is where it belongs. This is like part of how much, what does mitzvahs mean? What price do you have to pay for it? This should have been like Naseres Adibris. Where is it here? The answer is, mitzat, what it expresses, it's the ultimate of Bnei Aaron. It's the ultimate of someone who is, it's somewhere where the guf's ultimate being mashlim with the nefesh is where it doesn't sense it's any tension between the guf's most basic desire of kiyum and the nefesh's basic desire of its own kiyum. The kiyum of the nefesh and the kiyum of the guf became one when there's mesiras nefesh, Kiddush Hashem. There's the Mora Naim, the Chernobyl says, Dava Pasha, but it says with his chain, even though there's a parish of mitzvahs kahuna, so it's still something that has a shaykh to all of Klal Yisrael. It's true that the Kohen is one that does it, and he brings the Chazal that if it's not Kohen, you call up the Yisrael bim Kohen Kohen. It's the pshat, the Kohen is the best person of it, but it belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. We're called Mamlechas Kohanim, the Goy Kodesh, and b'meila b'zer anpin in a smaller format. It's shayach to every person's avodah himself. Understanding what are we trying to do? The first understanding of kedusha is that we need to draw back. That as long as we allow our ritzoinus and taivus, the kosher ones, kedushim is dealing only with kosher ones, as long as we allow it free reign, we have no shayach to kedusha, we have no shayach to ruchnius. So it comes by a denial of sorts, and we draw back. So just like when you watch the person shaping the statue, way before you see a statue emerging, a figure emerging, you see a lot of stone getting cut away. And for a person looking at the side, someone doesn't understand, it looks to him like the guy's destroying the stone bit by bit. That's all he sees. He doesn't see anything positive coming out of it. So a first step in Avodas Hashem requires a person's disciplining himself in a way that the goof is not thrilled with it. The way that the goof is like anything else. Anytime you rein in something, anytime you chip away at something, it you get resistance. And the stronger the chaymer is, the more resistance you get. But the understanding is that Aveda leads, that the chipping away of all the stones on the side leads to the emergence of a tzura, where the stone itself looks like the tzura, where at some point the two become indistinguishable. When a person forces himself to sit and learn, so the first stage is forcing himself. But the person needs to understand it will happen, and he needs to keep doing it until it happens, is that he begins to thrill with the learning. And Adarabba, if he sits home all day doing nothing, he feels bad. At some point, sitting around doing nothing becomes depressing to him. A person learns to rein in his taivas in every tum. In the first stage, it's difficult, he struggles. But at some point, he begins to pick up a certain distaste for indulgence. In the first musig, a person is told about a table laden with kol tov, and the person's running on all four, and to draw himself back, not to run, is difficult. But at some point, if he does work on himself and understands the direction that he's going, then the person begins to feel a distaste. I'm like an animal running on all four just to fress. There's nothing. Where's my tzomel kim? I'm embarrassed of myself. I'm ashamed of myself. The person's sensitivities begin to change, and his physical sensitivities become in line with his ruchnis sensitivities, and that's the shlemus. That's the Dag of Aaron. Klal Yisrael is a Goy Kaddish and a Lechas Kanim. We have an Avoid of Kedusha, which is Shevet Levi's Avoid, and that's an Avoid to draw back, to be taken the Tchum of Kedusha, to guard the Beis HaMikdash, not to let in Tumah, to work on clearing out of our selves, washing ourselves off from everything that's stuck to us. And that Avoid is a difficult Avoid, because it's restraint, it's a tug of war, it's against the what we think our Etzayin is. Not easy. Yeah. Then there's a second stage, and that second stage is Bnei Aaron, the Kohuna belongs to Aaron. The Kohuna belongs to Aaron is the Midah of Shalom, the Midah where understanding that ultimately the two will come together in a way that it supersedes either one. The flat picture on my desk on one side and a big slab of rock on the other side are pale in comparison to a statue that fully expresses the picture. That's the metzias of the Dmus Adam. In as much as we have in us that Kedusha, that Klal Yisrael has, and that's kind of a Kaddish. We understand that certainly at this stage, most of our effort is geared for Shevet Levi Dick, but understanding that the ultimate of it, it's encouraging when you know that at some point the two halves of yourself will become one. There's the Shalom and the Shlemus of Ish and Isha, of Guf and Neshama, will reach a point. And even though, Be'ez Hashem, we won't have Nisyonos Chas V'Shalom of Kiddush Hashem and its big oifin, but every drop of Mesiris Nefesh, where a person gives up something that he wanted, a drop of Ratzon goes a long way in being that. Then the person is the ultimate Shleimus HaAdam, where Guf and Nefesh came together. The parashah is a parashah of Kahuna, and it sort of finishes in a sense, basically, Taras Karnim. It's the Taras of the Kohen himself, rather than what the Kohen does. But the Tachlis of what the Kohen does is what the Kohen himself becomes. And the Kohen himself, Kahuna in its big sense, starts with Levi, and that's the Goy Kaddish. And Kahuna in its core is Bnei Aaron. That's Meleches Kohanim. That's something that when it becomes one, it lasts forever. And it's the Mida of Aaron HaKohen. Shabbos.
Yeah. This one's a little stupid. So what's that daily period?